Welcome to another episode of the Anxiety Rx podcast. This one is kind of personal to me. It's something I've been noticing just so much more in the world these days. And it's just this idea that we're only good for the money that we have. You know, this is something that is really, really bothers me. And it gets to me because all anxiety is separation anxiety. And I think this constant being pecked at for our money is just separating us more and more. And maybe you're feeling it too, this sense that everywhere you turn, someone is trying to get your money, to use you. And if you had a childhood where you felt you got used, this is only going to echo that and make you feel worse. Now, don't get me wrong, money's a part of life, but what I'm talking about is deeper than that. It feels like our actual humanness is up for sale. This constant bombardment of ads, subscriptions, in-app purchases, and scams, just as a way to use you to make them money. And all anxiety is a result of separation of some kind. And it seems like the world is endlessly trying to separate you from your money. And human currency is no longer the connection. It's somehow financial now. Our dopamine-driven, zombie-scrolling, immediate gratification brains are being trained to focus on the immediate pleasures of cash over real human connection. Now, true happiness is a calm mind, a healthy body, and a loving connection with others. But if you can't have that, maybe you can buy it. And the funny thing is, people don't want things. They want the feeling they perceive they're going to have when they buy the thing. They believe that if they buy this thing, it will make them happy and that will make them more content. And it does in the short term. I think it does create this sense of feeling good in the short term, but it doesn't allow us to really feel better in the long run. And it doesn't give us more human connection. Buying a new car doesn't create the sense of connection within you. And people don't want things. They want the feeling they perceive they're going to have when they buy that thing. They think that the buying the thing is going to make them happy. And it does for a short term, but it doesn't give you any long-lasting pleasure, which is basically the definition of addiction. Short-term pleasure, long-term pain, and we just keep doing it. And we're sold this idea that money is a better form of currency than connection. And in many ways, it's easier to buy yourself a new PlayStation 5 than it is to go ask someone out for coffee. You know, money's being sold as the new commodity and a cure for this existential loneliness that started around COVID, or actually maybe before that. And we are buying into it. This money first, people second attitude is growing rapidly. Genuine in-person human connection is being progressively replaced with this anonymous monetary transaction online. And it's this profits over people mentality is magnifying the sense of separation that's been growing for the last two decades since the internet really took us over. But really, really, it's gotten hypercharged since COVID, this sense of separation from each other. So COVID literally separated us 6 feet apart physically, but it also began a much bigger separation emotionally. COVID split us apart and humanity became even more lonely and disconnected. And on top of that, we fought with each other intensely over vaccinations and possible treatments and the government's hiding this. And it just split us apart even more and more and more. And as a result, we reach for connection in things that we could buy as a way to fill the gap. This is why Amazon is so popular. We began to see money is the cure for loneliness. And as I said, yes, in our dopamine-driven immediate gratification brains, buying something does give you that hit. It does make you feel better for the short period of time, but it doesn't last. And as we see money as the cure for loneliness, taking over the currency of human connection, you know, life becomes more about or less about helping your neighbors and more about trying to sell your neighbors a product or service. And this obsession with money has created far more separation than COVID ever did or ever could. COVID ended, but the worship of money has never been so intense, and it's only getting worse, and it's only separating us from ourselves, which creates more anxiety. Also, there seems to be an intense, endless drive to get online and sell, a seemingly endless stream of experts on social media that claim to show you for a good price how you too can make a seven-figure income with your typewriter repair business. Both of these get-rich-quick schemes help the people selling them get rich off of you. And again, it's more of this separation. It's more that you're only good for the money you can provide to the economy, to these other people. And it's anonymous. And here's my point. The core of anxiety is separation. So feeling disconnected from ourselves, from others, and from safety. And when every transaction or interaction feels transactional and money driven, when we are reduced to a smartphone wallet, that separation within ourselves grows and within our population grows as well. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. And by the way, it's not lost on me that I'm selling something too. I have my book to sell. I have my online program, MBRX, to sell. And I have business advisors saying I should sell that program for 10 times more than I'm selling it for now. But I don't do that because money's never been my goal. Even as a doctor, I chose to work less and make less money. For me, it's always been about making a connection with me and my patient than making a whole bunch of money. That's not the purpose. And that's probably why I burned out, is because as I had to see more and more people to fulfill the overhead in the clinic that I worked at, I got less and less satisfied. And I felt more and more empty and more disconnected. So it was really important for me to put something out that was reasonably priced, that would get my work out into the world. That's really what I wanted to do. So it's not lost on me that I'm trying to sell you something too, while I'm talking about this sort of predatory environment that we live in as human beings, where everyone's trying to sell you something. Not lost on me that I sell something too, but I try and sell it at a price that allows people to afford it. I'll tell you a little story about my early days as a physician. Back in the day, medicine wasn't so much about billing codes and insurance numbers. And sure, money was involved, but there was always a sense of care first. I became a doctor because I truly wanted to help people, not because I wanted to make money. And I believe most doctors felt that way. Doctors sacrifice 10 to 15 years of their youth to become doctors. And I think because of that sacrifice, we have this internal sense of purpose that we would actually sacrifice 10 to 15 years of our lives to go into a benevolent profession that sought connection from others. But fast forward to today, you walk into a clinic, it feels like you're on a conveyor belt, everything has a charge, everything is billable. Patients can feel like they're just products moving through a system. And doctors feel like they're stuck running a business instead of connecting with people, which is how I felt. Now, I don't have one friend who doesn't have some horror story of dealing with a medical doctor. And I think that's because for most doctors, we find the human part is sacrificed for the business part. That's not what we doctors signed up for. And the frustration and burnout we experience is showing through. Now, that's not excusing bad behavior among doctors, but I think many doctors have a deep sense of regret over sacrificing 10 to 15 years of their youth to enter a job they found that they didn't like, but they're now stuck in it. And one of the big reasons I left organized medicine is because I needed to see more patients to meet my overhead costs. So my visits became shorter and shorter. And I felt badly that I was trading money for connection. And I eventually burned out and left to become a writer and to mentor people with anxiety. That's what I love doing. My medical background has given me the opportunity to do that. And I'm grateful for it. But I just couldn't stay in that system any longer. It was just too soul destroying for me. I quit because allopathic medicine became a source of deep frustration. I lost that benevolent connection that gave me purpose in only giving my patients 7 minutes apiece. I do think that much of the reason why doctors are seen in increasingly negative light is because we've lost that benevolent connection and treat patients in a way that serves our business, but then we both lose. In the pursuit of money to keep our clinics alive, we lose ourselves. We lose our connection to our patients. We lose the reason why we did medicine in the first place. And compounding matters, the benevolent doctor-patient relationship we sought in helping other people has become increasingly more adversarial. As doctors treated patients in a less caring way, patients started seeing doctors in a less caring way in return, and the disconnection is becoming more obvious by the day. One of the reasons medical doctors and traditional treatments are being rejected is because of our reputation with the public. If you don't have a good reputation with the public, they are more likely to reject your offerings as treatment. And this is why I believe alternative treatments are skyrocketing. People are trying, you know, lemon oil for cancer and all these things that don't work. But because medical doctors are looked at as kind of the enemy in a way, and the establishment, we're seen as predatory as well. We're seen as trying to make money from you or the pharmaceutical companies at your expense. And we're seen as doctors as putting our own profits over the patient's health. And most doctors aren't like that. We didn't want to be like that. But because the system is forcing us to see more and more people, we're getting burned out and we're not being as connected as we should. And we're doing it to ourselves. For the majority of time, I think we're creating this negative adversarial environment to ourselves. So if you hear stories of kickbacks over getting money for vaccines, giving pharmaceutical companies giving money to doctors for vaccinating patients, that does not happen. It does not happen. But because you have a negative view of doctors, it's easy to believe. And I'm going to do a whole podcast on why medical doctors are losing credibility and why online influencers and alternative treatments are taking over. But on this one, I just wanted to say, as a medical doctor, we really want to do our best. We really want to do the best job we can for patients. It's not about the money for most of us. We really do want to help people. And I think as we burn out, as we get more disillusioned in this profession that we spend so much time trying to become, it's a very soul-destroying environment to work on something for a decade and then have to give it up because you found that it didn't really work for you. And that was the case with me. It just made me more and more anxious. Personally, I really love my patients, especially the anxious ones like me. I felt a kinship with them. And I'm sure that that's why I do this work now. I can help people with anxiety on my own time, and I don't have to just give them 7 minutes anymore. I can give them my essence. And the pain that I went through, I think, helps other people see that this is kind of normal for anxiety. And until the pain gets so great, we don't do anything about it. And getting back to doctors, when patients are treated like a number, when they're sick and vulnerable, they may feel ashamed if they're not worthy of connection or care. And this is often a throwback to their childhood. Money can buy a form of connection. And in these days of profound disconnection, it's enticing to our dopamine system to believe that if we had more money, we'd have more connection. But like prostitution, the connection money provides is often transactional. It doesn't feel real or satisfying. It doesn't really last. The connection that comes from real, genuine human connection is really what fuels us. But we're getting sucked into the idea that we can buy connection external to us. And it doesn't work that way. It kind of reminds me of my own struggles with anxiety. When I was younger, I constantly felt like I wasn't enough. That sense of separation and inadequacy is the very soil in which anxiety grows. And I thought if I could become a doctor, then I'd be worthy, then I'd be happy. But in many ways, becoming a doctor was also a transaction. It was an attempt to buy a benevolent connection in this status place as a doctor, what I could connect with my patients. And I didn't feel that in my real life. So I felt that I was buying this connection with my patients. And many of my patients did love me. They thought I was great, had a great bedside manner. But I didn't realize that I was giving, 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 kind of in a codependent way to get back. I wasn't giving in an altruistic sense. I was giving to get. And that's one of the reasons I think I burned out. Because there was this unconscious belief in me that I wasn't good enough. And when I made it through med school, it's like, well, I have to be good enough now because I'm a damn doctor. And in many ways, I scammed myself into believing that if I was a doctor, all my troubles would be gone. But what I didn't anticipate was, and what became one of the biggest disappointments in my life, my anxiety got way worse when I graduated from medical school and started practice. You know, I found I wasn't able to create a consistent, benevolent connection to my patients because I was unable to provide that connection to myself because I was deep in alarm and anxiety. I remember people coming into my office with anxiety and giving me the rundown of how it was affecting their life and thinking, I am way worse than you are, way worse than you are. Anxiety affects me way more than it does you. So it was really interesting for me to see that and to try and make a connection with these people, which I often did because I did feel a kinship with them. But eventually I burned out because I wasn't creating enough of a connection within myself. The belief that we're told that money provides a sense of emotional safety is one of the biggest lies that we're told in our society. I mean, money provides some sense of safety, but safety really comes from our connection with other people. And if our pursuit of money is what we consider the primary goal of making connections, we're chasing our tails. We're chasing the wrong thing. It will never provide us with the sense of connection that true human connection will. And it's exhausting. And to know that there's nothing there when you get there, once you get the doctor, once you get the money, is really demoralizing. In my case, I thought my problems would be solved once I started having the status of a doctor and making the money of a doctor. And in fact, they just got worse. There's something called affective prediction error. And it's the belief that when you get the thing you desire, you will feel better. And you do tend to feel better initially, but it doesn't last. And is never as good as your prediction or expectation of how it's going to feel. I love the saying, expectations are premature resentments. And I say it to myself every day, expectations are premature. The more expectation I have on something, the more demand I have on something, the less satisfied I'm with it. So we're driven to believe this in our society, that if we have expectations that if we make this money, that we're going to be happy. And it doesn't work that way. But there is this belief that if you have money, that you will be happier. So let's talk about scams for a minute. I don't know about you, but I get at least 3 scam texts or robocalls a day. Your package is being held. Click here. Your account's been suspended. Click here. It never ends. And it makes you feel like you're just a number. You're just being used. And here's the problem. Even when you delete them, your nervous system has already been poked. Each scam kind of tells you you're not safe. Someone's trying to take advantage of you. And if being taken advantage of was a part of your childhood, if being taken advantage of by a parent or by someone in your family or your friends was part of your childhood, that old alarm in you gets activated. That sense of separation gets activated, which of course makes the anxiety in your mind worse. Your worries start to ramp up to match the increasing alarm in your body. I had a patient once who told me that she felt alarmed every time her phone buzzed. She had a history of her mother making unreasonable demands when she was a child, and each ring of the phone triggered a memory of being taken advantage of. Now, think about that. Our technology, meant to connect us, is teaching our nervous systems that the world is an enemy. The world is predatory. And if you have a history of anxiety and alarm, like many of us do, especially if you're listening to this podcast, we're kept in this state of uncertainty and hypervigilance with proof every day that the world is trying to take advantage of us by trying to take our money. These robocalls, you know, constant emails trying to scam you. That goes into your nervous system. We feel that. And anxiety thrives in that environment. The alarm system in the body doesn't care if it's a real threat or just another sketchy phishing email. It goes off anyway. Burnt cinnamon toast or house fire. The smoke detector just fires off the same way. And then add in the rising cost of everything, groceries, rent, healthcare, you name it. People are working harder, but they feel like they're falling behind. We see CEOs making 100 times what the worker makes. We clearly see the system is rigged and the rich get richer and the poor gets poorer, which makes us feel even more unworthy if we're not making this huge income. This breeds scarcity, and scarcity whispers to the nervous system, there isn't enough. You need to be better. You won't be okay. When you live in that day after day, the background alarm in your system grows. You don't just feel stressed. You feel unsafe, disconnected, and ashamed because you feel overwhelmed by the day-to-day life that everyone else seems to be just handling. We get this message hundreds of times a day that we need to buy or sell or somehow transact from in the monetary world, and it's dehumanizing. It's turning us into money machines, and most of us can't keep up. It fires us back into that deep sense of lack and shame. And what do most people do in shame? They isolate. They hide their struggles. They stop reaching out. And again, the separation grows, firing the background alarm in your body into high gear. And anxiety in your mind follows that background alarm being fired up in your body. And maybe then you go to Amazon and buy stuff you don't need. This retail therapy is not therapy at all. It's a trap. And we're all falling for it. Here's where we bring it all together. When everything is transactional, we stop giving the nervous system the medicine it needs most, which is genuine connection. Your body doesn't calm down because you click buy now. You calm down when you feel safe in the presence of someone who truly cares for you, not just what you can do for them. When we laugh with a friend, when we get a hug, when someone says, I see you, I enjoy being with you, I'm with you in good times or bad, in your triumphs and your troubles, that's human currency. that's what heals us. That's what makes us feel whole and creates this connection with ourselves. And when we have this connection with ourselves, we're much more connected to other people. Now, this is neuroscience 101. Human connection regulates the nervous system through our social engagement system. Eye contact, tone of voice, prosody of voice, body language, facial expressions, touch. These activate the vagus nerve, among other parts of our calming parasympathetic nervous system. But with every interaction that feels like a sales pitch, our nervous system never gets that signal of safety, or we don't feel it. We don't allow ourselves to feel it because we're bombarded with these demands all the time. And we stay in hypervigilance, just like we probably did as children. We stay in alarm mode, waiting for the stressor now that your brain is anticipating, just like when you were a child. So what can we do about it? We can't stop inflation or scams or the fact that companies relentlessly want our money, but we can raise awareness so we can soothe our own nervous system. So the first thing I tell people to do is call it out. Just naming this monetary system helps. This is what I do. I say to myself, this is the monetization fairy. This isn't about me. This playfully separates my own safety from the system's tactics. I imagine the monetization fairy as a certain orange president in a tutu. The playful nature of this image, it popped me out of my lack mentality and into a sense of humor. Just imagine it with a magic wand saying, I want your money. Number two, create free connection. Text a friend, reminding them of a fun time that you share that you're looking forward to in the future. Invite someone for a walk and tell them you're going to pick them up in 15 minutes. Share a thermos of coffee or tea in nature instead of some busy Starbucks somewhere. These moments remind your body that not everything has a price tag, and you can find stillness and joy in things that don't cost money. Number three, reconnect with yourself. In Anxiety RX, I talk about befriending the alarm in the body. Sit with the sensations, place a hand where it hurts and say, I'm with you, I'm here for you, and I don't need you to do anything. You're good just as you are. This costs nothing, but it gives your nervous system the safety that it craves. This is the connection fairy, and she has a magic wand that feels much more soothing than the monetization fairy. Number four, limit exposure, unsubscribe, filter scam texts, set boundaries with ads. You can't stop all of them, but you can reduce the constant pokes to your alarm system. Calling out the monetization fairy gives you a degree of awareness and control that you previously didn't have because it wasn't in your conscious environment to really look for it. I'm telling you to look for it now. Look for the monetization fairy now. Number five, anchor in your humanity. This is a big one, and it goes directly against the monetization fairy. Remember, your value is not based on how much you spend, how much you earn, or how much you produce. Your value is intrinsic. I like to think of my value as what I can give to others without losing myself, and what I can give to myself without losing others. One of the very best things I've learned is how to make a specific focus on beauty and joy every single day, as many times as I can. There's beauty and joy in a stop sign if you choose to see it. And in fact, choosing to see beauty and joy in the mundane thing changes your brain and automatically moves you out of your unconscious default mode that focuses on survival that you gained from being an anxious child, and into your task positive network where you can feel more in control of what you take in. So if you're feeling more anxious these days, you're not broken. You're not failing. You're simply responding to a world that often feels transactional and predatory. But here's the good news. Separation is the root of anxiety, and connection is the root of healing. We can still choose to connect. We can see beauty and joy in everything. I know that sounds a bit woo, but try it. It's made a huge difference for me, and I've been able to reset my default mode network that looks at survival all the time and move it into a place where I'm taking in beauty all the time. And it makes a huge difference in resetting your nervous system. Connection doesn't have to be big. It can be as simple as making eye contact, saying hello to a stranger, dancing with yourself or your partner, or putting a hand over your heart and saying, I'm here. And never underestimate the power of putting a picture of yourself, your younger self, up in your bathroom mirror and finding beauty and joy in that child. These small acts are not small to your nervous system. They're really lifelines. So thanks for joining me today. If this episode spoke to you, share it with someone who needs to be reminded of their worth. Remember, you're not a transaction. You're not a scam waiting to happen. You are human. You can see the monetization fairy and playfully distance yourself from that. You're valuable, and you can't put a price on what you can offer to other people. And see beauty and joy in everything. And I'll see you next time.